Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss the Super Bowl VI and Guy Chamberlain, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary birthdays and stories of the NFL and college football coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal for positive football history. And boy, what a great year we are having here. Just going through the history of football season while watching the modern day football season passes by as we are now into the playoffs. Wild card weekend is upon us. And what a joy we are having with these great games in the largest season in the National Football League's history. So we're going to get you to your football history headlines. And on January 16th,
in 1883, the Quebec Rugby Football Union forms per the PRFA's publication, The Coffin Corner, Volume 23 by Robert Sproul in 2001. After a group of Canadian teams in Ontario organized on January 6, 1883, a group of teams from Quebec province also organized. There were teams from Montreal, McGill, Britannia, and Quebec City. In the game they played, there were 15 players per side, and on the field was 110 yards in length. At the time, the game more closely resembled rugby by today's standards, but at the time it was different because the ball was placed on the ground and teams, which were lined up on opposing sides, came together to try to gain control of the ball and try to push it past a line on the ground and near the end. Sproul notes that it was closer to a line of scrimmage than it was a scrum. Finally, in 1904, the QRFU adopted a system of downs where it would slowly morph into what was recognized as Canadian football and eventually the CFL. January 16, 1955, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. It was at the fifth annual NFL Pro Bowl game that the Western Conference team defeated the Eastern Conference 26-19. The game's most valuable player was San Francisco 49er wide receiver Billy Wilson. January 16, 1965, at Jepson Stadium in Houston, the American Football League held its fourth All-Star game, and in the end-of-the-year exhibition game, the Western Division defeated the Eastern Division squad by the score of 38-14. The MVPs of this contest were the Los Angeles Chargers running back Keith Lincoln and Willie Brown, the Denver Broncos defensive back. January 16, 1970, the NFL realigned three divisions in each conference after the official merger of the AFL into the NFL per the American Football Fandom site. As we talked about in earlier posts, the NFL had 16 teams prior to the merger, while the AFL had only 10. The easiest fix to balance out the conferences was to move three traditionally NFL teams into the new AFC to join the existing AFL squads. So, in the realignment, the Baltimore Colts, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cleveland Browns all joined the old AFL squads in the conference. The divisions were set up like this. The AFC West was being made up of the Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, and Chiefs. The AFC East consisted of the Bills, Colts, Patriots, Jets, and Dolphins. The Central Division of the AFC placed the Browns, Bengals, Oilers, and Steelers together. Over in the other conference, the NFC East consisted of the Eagles, Redskins, Cowboys, Giants, and Cardinals, while the NFC Central was comprised of the Packers, Bears, Vikings, and Lions. The Rams, 49ers, Saints, and Falcons made up the NFC West. Well, after a couple years of those conferences and that reorganization realignment, it all came down to January 16, 1972 at Tulane Stadium in New Orleans. The NFL title would be decided in Super Bowl VI as the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins would clash to see who would take home the Lombardi Trophy. Dallas running back Dwayne Thomas pounded out 95 yards on the ground with a touchdown, while Roger Staubach tossed scoring passes to Mike Ditka and Lance Allworth to lift the Cowboys over the Miami Dolphins 24-3. According to the ProFootballReference.com, Roger Staubach hit on 12 of 19 passes for 119 yards and two scores and was selected as the game's most valuable player. January 16, 1988. The St. Louis Cardinals football team announced that they would be moving to Phoenix, according to the BarstoolSports.com. The franchise spent 27 years in the gateway to the West City, and the Cardinals, who are the oldest franchise in the NFL, are the first to have called three different cities home. Our colleague on the Sports History Network, Joe Zimba, has some great podcasts on the history of the Cardinals, especially their years in Chicago. Joe is probably one of the foremost experts on Cardinals history, and that is solidified in his great book, When Football Was Football. How can you get more of an expert than that when you have books that you've written about a team? So make sure you check out Joe Zimba's book and his great podcast, as well as more great podcasts from other great providers on the SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Speaking about the SportsHistoryNetwork.com and some of the other great podcasts, here's one of my partners from the network right now to tell you all about his podcast.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Now that's definitely a podcast you're going to want to check out because there's some great content on there. Now let's go to the birthdays of our Hall of Famers, and we'll start off for this January 16th on 1882 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Henry Phillips, the stellar Suwannee guard, was born. The National Football Foundation selected Harry Phillips to go into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1959. January 16, 1894, Blue Springs, Nebraska. Guy Chamberlain, the sensational back and end from Nebraska Wesleyan and the University of Nebraska, was born. In 1911 and 1912, Chamberlain started at Wesleyan. He then transferred to play with the Cornhuskers of Nebraska in 1914, and the team was 7-0-1 in 1914 with Chamberlain at halfback, scoring on runs of 90, 85, 70, and 58 yards per the NFF. After transfer to end in 1915, he became an All-America selection, and Nebraska went 8-0 on the season. The Cornhuskers had beaten Notre Dame 20-19. Newt Rockne, then a Notre Dame assistant coach, called Chamberlain the key to Nebraska's victory. For his final college game, November 20th, 1915, he moved back to halfback and scored five touchdowns in a 52-7 romp over Iowa. Guy Chamberlain's stats and bio went into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1962. After school and after serving in World War I, Guy played pro football for 8 years. Bear legend George Halas called him the greatest two-way end in the history of the game. He was not only a good player, but he was a great early coach in the NFL, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In his six coaching seasons, five of them were spent as a player coach. Chamberlain also won four NFL championships for the Canton Bulldogs in 1922 and 1923, the Cleveland Bulldogs in 1924, and the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets in 1926. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Guy Chamberlain in the year 1965. January 16, 1914, New Orleans, Louisiana. The great halfback of Tulane, Claude Monk Simmons, arrived into life. Monk's father was a highly regarded trainer of the Green Wave of Tulane, and his young son grew up dreaming about being on the playing field of the gridiron for Tulane. Sometimes with hard work and dedication, those dreams do come true, and they sure did for Simons. The NFF has a great story on the bio of Monk. The Tulane team was invited to host a Sugar Bowl game against the head coach Pop Warner's very talented Temple team. That New Year's Day in 1935, the 22,000 fans filled the air with excitement. The home crowd was silenced at the onset of the contest as Temple scored two quick touchdowns to start the game. Simons had been preparing for this moment for most of his young life and his dreams. After the second LTD, Tulane's Johnny McDaniel handed off to Simons, and the fleet-footed halfback raced 86 yards down the sideline for the score that ignited the green wave to a comeback and eventual 20-14 victory. The College Football Hall of Fame inducted Monk Simons in 1963. January 16, 1953, Akron, Ohio. Dave Brown, the safety from Michigan, was born. Michigan had a remarkable defense when Brown was on the team. The Wolverines were 32-1, and in 33 games played, his team surrendered more than 10 points in only 5 games and registered 11 shutouts, according to the NFF. As a junior, Brown was a consensus All-America selection, and he scored a TD in each of his 3 seasons played. Dave Brown was received as a legend into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2007. Our final Hall of Famer that celebrates a birthday on this January 16th was born in 1977 in Phillipsburg, Kansas. The great Kansas State linebacker Mike Simoneaux was born. According to the footballfoundation.org website, Simoneaux holds the school record with 251 career unassisted tackles, ranks third in school history with 400 total tackles, and 52 tackles for loss and 8 forced fumbles. The NFL voters selected Mark Simoneaux to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2012. Mark was a third-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons in the 2000 NFL Draft. Mark Simoneaux played 11 seasons for the Atlanta Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles, New Orleans Saints, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Just another ordinary day in the offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so retro it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can too by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW number 1 today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for a 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.